Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast. Welcome to Local Food Connections, a show about the power of locally grown food to connect us more strongly with our communities and the lands we inhabit. Local Food Connections is brought to you by Local Food Connect. We're broadcasting from Wurundjeri country and pay our respects to elders past and present. We respect the enduring strength of First Nations people and acknowledge their long heritage of agriculture and care for the land in which our food is grown. My name's Anne Stanley, and today my guest is Tracy Langbridge from the Muralbark Community Garden. This is a nearly 1 acre garden at the corner of Charles and Station Streets in Muralbark, and it's a space for locals to come together and share skills, ideas, and a love of growing organic, sustainable food. Tracy is one of the driving forces behind the garden, and she's here to tell us how it began, what's growing there, and how it works. So welcome, Tracy.
Thank you very much, Anne.
Can you start by telling us how the community garden got started and what inspired it?
Well, I was one of many people who, coming out of COVID, realised that there was a lack of connectivity. And someone in that cohort said to a group of people, why don't we have a community garden? Wouldn't it be fantastic? And I must admit, I jumped on that person's coattails and joined the group, having a discussion at our local library. And what transpired is really mind-blowing, because we were... have been only celebrating our second anniversary down at the garden, and somebody got wind of what we were discussing and came to us. And the earth-shattering thing about that, it was the local council. And the local council said to us, would you like this plot of land?
A whole acre, just about.
That's right. And it was mind-blowing. It really was, because it's not often that someone comes to you and makes that kind of generous offer. And on top of that, they said to us, we're also willing to fund some of the early infrastructure. And that was because the Level Crossing Authority had put some money into the council for use of land locally to store all of their facilities and equipment. And they said, so we've got this money and we have to spend it on community development. And we did a little dance, did a little song, and we're just so excited. So they put in the 12 garden beds, raised garden beds for us, which is fantastic, because the site was previously a car park. And you can imagine that it was so heavily compacted and hardly any part of it was in any way usable. So we had to go above ground.
Was that actually concrete, Tracy, or was it just compacted earth?
It was a combination of compacted earth. It was stones and concrete and, you know,
you name it.
It had no life by any stretch of anybody's imagination. So to say that we hit the ground running with that kind of start happening is, you know, it was mind-boggling. We had to make sure that we had, you know, our status and set up ourselves as an entity. And so there was a lot to do, you know, from working with children and crossing all our T's to do with safety and you name it.
Did Did you get help with that? Was there someone that had a bit of expertise, or did someone just point you in the right direction with that stuff?
With that stuff, a lot of it came from the impetus of people asking us, have you got your health, okay, work and safety? We had, as part of our plan, an early learning centre put into the garden infrastructure. So we've got beds specifically for young people at the garden, and it had to be fenced in for safety purposes. But the rest of the garden is open plan. Anybody can walk through. Anybody can come in and pick. It is totally accessible to the community.
Well, before we get on to all that, is this Maroondah Council?
No, this is Yarra Rangers.
Yarra Rangers. Shout out to local councils. As always, they're at the forefront of this. And I just love that story of you're meeting in a local library. Shout out to local libraries too. They're fantastic. And you just did it at the right time when there was money there, because there is money available. There are grants. And if you're interested in doing this sort of thing, it's worthwhile just going to your council and finding out what you can apply for.
And, you know, we're really fortunate in the Yarra Ranges because we have a plethora of gardens that do and accommodate in different ways, whether they are plot-based, whether they are, encompass other things like ECOS, which, yes, is something we mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. So there's so many types of gardens that are available to of us. It just depends on which flavour suits you.
Okay, well, you've said that this one's, I think in your Facebook page or something, it says a place of being and sharing. And you talked to me before, a few weeks ago, about it being a place for connecting as well. And you've talked about how it's open to everyone. So can you just talk about how that works, how the communal nature of that garden works?
Okay. So basically we commit to the community that there'll be volunteers there pretty much 5 to 6 days a week. And when I say days, not the whole day. We're there generally from, 10 till 12 or longer, depending on what needs to be done. And so we have shifts. We have volunteers that come on specific days. And one of my commitments to the garden is to be there Saturday morning, because obviously with the community, there are people working. There are people who are, have other commitments that can't be down at the garden during the week. So I like to be there to talk to people and, open up the conversation about where we are, what we're doing, and how it benefits them, even though they may not putting their hands in the dirt.
So have you got a fence on it?
No
so
fencing.
Can people take, people who are not so-called members of the garden, can members of the community just grab a little bit of lettuce or something?
Our community can pick 24 hours a day.
Wow.
So basically we will put up on Facebook predominantly on Facebook, if we've harvested something that's in excess, and we tell them where they can pick it up from. We tell them they can come and just pick it out of the garden. Look, we've got plenty of lettuces. We've got lots of daikons at the moment. We've got this, we've got that. And we just ask of the community, who aren't necessarily directly involved, that they give us a gold coin donation.
Wow. And how many people are directly involved? And what does that involve? Is there an annual membership or something like that?
Well, we started off with that model. We thought that for us, we needed to have a membership model. And we were offering for people to join us at $15 a year for an individual and $30 for a family. But to be honest with you, as time progressed and the areas that closed in on us and enveloped us as the community meant that was not absolutely necessary. And so what we then decided to do is our model is more based on what we call a volunteer member. So if you want to come down and help out, you sign up a form so that we've got, we're crossing our T's and dotting our I's and looking after our community. And that volunteer form just informs people about what we do, who we are. We have a committee. We do run that way. And so we don't charge anybody to be involved in any way, shape or form. And we've had a lot of organisations support and sponsor and work with us. And so those funds have enabled us to be able to do what we can do. Mm. And we've also applied for grants and successfully received grants. So those sort of things make us proud that the people who work on committee, and I have some very strong, determined people who are so passionate about the garden, those strong and determined people take on tasks that, you know, most of us might go, oh, do I really have to do that? We'll do a sausage sizzle down at the local Coles to engage with the community who might not even know we're there. But predominantly everything that happens goes on in the garden. Mm. We have a market that we run once a month during the good weather. Mind you, we've had some interesting weather lately. The idea of that was it was going to always be an artisan market, mm-hmm. that people who make stuff, who create stuff with their hands and with their artistic endeavours to bring their items down to the market, and that gave them a venue that also was a pleasant place to be because they're facing the gardens, they're looking at the plants. Mm. It's not a huge market, mm-hmm. but our last one was pre-Halloween themed. And it was absolutely gorgeous because the kids were running around in their little costumes. We had them trick-or-treating, and not everybody's into Halloween, but hey, I loved seeing the kids and I loved seeing the joy that they were experiencing on that day. Yeah. So it's a win-win.
Yep.
Community and an opportunity for somebody to sell their wares.
Yeah. And I noticed you've got the 12 beds and you've also got polytunnels.
Yes, we
so
do.
So is that all infrastructure that is from the investment of the council in it?
What happened was the council put in our beds and the early learning centre, and they gave us a container to store things and a parklet, which was something that was quite new during COVID for outdoor dining in coffee shops and places like that. And we actually had the community bank come to us and sponsor us, and that's where our first polytunnel came from. So to say to you that there are a lot of organisations out there that are begging for someone to help them, sponsor them, give them support. We, as I said, we weren't crawling, we weren't taking slow steps, we were running from the moment this was thought of. And so our first polytunnel came via the Moorabbin Community Bank because they sponsored us. And then we had a Work for the Dole organisation, which is called Open Door, approach us and say, can we do a project with you? And as part of that project, what would you like? And we were going, oh, we'll be a bit like Oliver. Please, sir, can I have some more? And they were so incredibly generous. And the generosity also included working with other organisations in the community. And we had all accessible tables made so wheelchairs could be put up to the tables and people could sit in the garden. They also helped us out because of our ground structure, they helped us out with one of the tyre-based paths that would bring people into the garden so that they weren't going to get clogged up in their wheelchair mm-hmm. or their walker or mm-hmm. whatever else they were using if they had access issues. So they supported us with the project, and on top of that we had Work for the Dole participants coming down to the garden, and they were digging in the dirt and they were helping us get our plants in, and you know, an extra bit of muscle on top of the volunteers, was something that, you know, looking back on, you know, we had so much that was fortuitous and gave us the opportunity to build.
It really is a story of when you good fortune. You know, it's a story of being in the right place at the right time with the right energy, and it's like it's a vortex of positivity that's pulling other things into it.
And so, you know, we've had, you know, a core group of volunteers, and we have people who come in and then, you know, might not come for a while and then come back again. But the whole thing is that every time I talk to somebody, every time most of our volunteers engage in the community, they're amazed, they're astounded. They say, oh, you know, can I pick here? And we go, of course you can. And they go, oh, really? You mean this isn't just for one person play and grow their own food? It's like, no, it's for everybody. So we've had our challenges. We've had things stolen. We've had things damaged. And our community has, when we've put it out there, wrapped their arms around us and said, oh, well, maybe you need a fence, or maybe you need this, or maybe you need that. Do you know, I can't envisage our garden having a fence, purely because what it does is it opens up the possibilities for everybody.
Yes.
As soon as you put a fence around it, it also becomes, I think, more of a target for people who don't like the idea that they're not able to come.
They're excluded. Yes. And if people want to vandalise it, they'll get in somehow anyway, won't
they?
Good energy. So when you say you've got a few volunteers, what sort of people are volunteering in terms of just age and et cetera?
We have got them anything from early 20s through to 70 and 80. So obviously, like myself, there's quite a few people on the committee and, you know, our regular volunteers who may be retired. And it's simply because we've got more time on our hands. But we have such a diversity of individuals. And that was one of the things that was very integral to our concept of the garden, that regardless of disability, mental health, sexual orientation, ethnicity, First Nations, it didn't matter who you were or where you came from, everybody has the opportunity to join in. And, you know, it's really important to us to make sure that no one feels left behind or unwelcome.
In the whole of Moorabbin.
Correct. Yeah.
Beautiful. Tracy, we've only got 3 minutes left and I'm just really wanting to know about you and where does that openness and inclusiveness and those values that you're talking about now, where does that come from in you? What's your story? Just in 3 minutes.
Oh, I could talk for hours. I came from an inner city environment. I came from a dysfunctional family, and I came from an environment where people were too busy trying to eke out a living to actually think about anything else. As I got older, and I think even when I was younger, I always felt that even though I may have had nothing, I still have plenty to give. And because of that, I've always wanted to be open. I've always said that it doesn't matter who you are. I don't care if you are collecting my rubbish once a week or whether you're the Prime Minister of the country. Everybody has a place. Everybody's just as important. And more importantly, I'm happy to be around people who are happy to be around me. And sure, there will be people that I don't get along with or might not fit with my ethos. But most of all, I think that if you're open-hearted and prepared to share who you are and your energy and your desire to be around others, then that's infectious and it works for everyone.
I'm afraid that's the end of the interview. We had a shortened interview today because of circumstances beyond our control. In other words, I didn't get the memo that the freeway was closed. So we could have talked for another hour, Tracy, but we are running out of time. So, but thank you so much for coming in. And I am I'm in awe of how that all worked out for you. And it's given me a lot of faith in the power of being open-hearted, being inclusive, and persistence as well, I think. So thank you so much. Thanks for the good energy that you're putting out up there.
Thank you very much.
That was our short interview with Tracy Langbridge from the Mirrabark Community Garden. It's all we've got time for. Until next week, love the land you're on, share your surplus and take care of each other. Stay tuned now to 3CR for more Radical Radio with Latin American Update. Bye for now. With the dirt, you'll observe it's certainly not inert. From a worm to a chicken, you're never alone on the loam, and it's time to get to work. We've been looking up, we've been messing around, we've been freaking out. You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.